Hello, everybody. This is David 2, like Tuesday. Welcome to my podcast. Today, the topic is going to come from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. This past Friday, I was asked if Genesis chapters 1 and 2 contradict each other. The question came when we were reading Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, which shows Adam being created, followed by the creation of plants, specifically the Garden of Eden. So I'm doing this podcast to share the answer to that question. First, it's important for us to understand that chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, is an overview of creation. The main character is God. He's the protagonist. He's the subject of the chapter. And chapter 2 is the specific account of the creation of man. Adam is the main character. Adam is the protagonist and the subject of the chapter. So we see in chapter 1, God's the main character. It's about God. It's about his creation and the work he did in creating all things. Chapter 2 becomes much more specific. It's much more detailed and is very specifically about the creation of Adam, the creation of man. It's important for us to understand those two things before we get started. And then there's a second thing that I think is important for us to understand before we get started as well. And that has to do with chapter breaks. It's important for us to realize that we have this chapter break where we break up chapter 1 and chapter 2. But really, if we were to look at the content of those two chapters, the better place to break those chapters would have been smack in the middle of Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. So when we read Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, we read this. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now, when we read that, we recognize that there's two parts of that verse. If we were to take chapter 1 and the first few verses of chapter 2, that is one complete thought. The overview of creation. The beginning of chapter 2 talks about the heaven and the earth being finished, everything that was about them being finished, the seventh day being the day of rest where God had finished all his work, and the blessing of the seventh day. So all of that happens in the beginning of chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So it's really part of chapter 1. Then we read this verse in chapter 2 that discusses these two phrases. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And what we recognize is that that is a concluding statement on everything that happened before. Then the rest of verse 4 says, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. And that is really the beginning of everything that's going to happen from here on in. It's important for us to recognize that chapter breaks did not exist in the autographs, which are the original writings. In fact, it doesn't exist in any of the early manuscripts at all, because they're actually added in the 13th century. There were no such things as chapter breaks before that. Chapter breaks are things that we have put in so we can easily find and memorize scripture. But they are not part of the original scripture. So when we see chapter 2 breaking where it does, that is something that we did. It's not something that God did. It's not something that Moses did. It's not something that any of the original writers of the Bible did. It's something that we did. And we have to be really careful that we don't stop where there's a chapter break, because in the mind of the original writer, it was all part of one flow. Now, usually the chapter breaks do come in logical places where paragraphs might end or thoughts might end, but often they don't. And sometimes they break into places that actually cause us to end up having theologies that are actually incorrect because we've separated the previous thought from the current thought. So it's really important that we recognize that about chapter breaks. So as I say that, I go back to what we're saying here. And what I'm saying is the end of the thought really happens in what we call chapter 2, verse 4, and it splits that verse in half. What we might have read, if we were to have read this before chapter breaks were added, is something along the lines of this. I'll just start in what we call chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Next one. In the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. So you see how that goes? So if we break verse 4, right smack in the middle there, we actually see it ends the first thought and begins the second thought. And as we said earlier, the first thought was that, or is that, God is the main character of chapter 1, which is an overview of creation, everything that God did as a summary, if you would. Chapter 2 is a specific account of the creation of man, and Adam is the main character. Just for the purposes of ease, from here on in, when I say chapter 1 and chapter 2, I'm actually breaking the chapters there in what is actually chapter 2, verse 4. So when I say chapter 2, I'm really speaking of everything that is in chapter 2 after verse 4. And when I say chapter 1, I'm really talking about everything that is chapter 1 up to chapter 2, verse 3. So just for ease, so there's no confusion, I don't have to say that every single time I say chapter 2. So moving forward, I think it's also important to notice something about Jewish scholarship. Specifically, that Jewish scholars have never thought that these two chapters were contradictory. They have always understood these two chapters properly. And in fact, the greatest scholar of Jewish scriptures, Jesus, does this also. In Matthew 19, verses 4 through 5, Jesus says, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Notice what he's done. He's combined verses from chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the last part of it, it says, "Male and female he created them." In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And if you look, that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. So Jesus himself recognizes that these are not contradictory passages, but are actually complementary passages. Just as Jesus used them, complementing each other, that was exactly how it was written. When Genesis 2:7 describes the creation of man, and that's followed by Genesis 2:9, which points out the creation of plants, which is followed then by Genesis 2:19, which mentions the creation of animals, why don't the Jewish scholars see this as a contradiction to Genesis chapter 1? Because in Genesis chapter 1, it very clearly shows that the chronology is plants come first, then animals, then man. So it's in a completely different order. Well, the answer to that is because they properly understand Hebrew verb tense. They know that the verb tense is determined by context. So in other words, you can have a verb. And in fact, let's use an actual example. In chapter 2, verse 19, there's a Hebrew word that's used for the word form. Let's read verse 19 just so you can see it. It says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them." Now when we read that just like that, what we kind of understand is that the man is already in existence. We see God created him back in verse 7. But here it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. So it seems that the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky are formed after the man. But this is a contextual issue. The Jewish mind recognizes that chapter 1 has already explained that the plants were made first, the animals were made second, man was made last. And so when they read this, they read the tense differently. Most of our English translations have translated that word, the Hebrew word yatsar, which is the word for form, have translated it in the perfect tense. Now, what does that mean? The perfect tense is an action that has happened, and we're not so concerned about the action, but the consequence. Going to Wikipedia, which I know isn't the ideal place to get your information, but if you go and look up the perfect tense in Wikipedia, it gives us an example that says, I have made dinner. And the point that Wikipedia makes is, it's talking about a previous action, my having made dinner, but the focus isn't on what I did. The focus is on the fact that dinner is ready. And that's the idea of the perfect tense. The idea of the perfect tense is something that has happened in the past where I'm really thinking about what's going on right now. It's a completed action that has resulted in a state right here, right now. However, there's another form that we could look at. And that form is called the pluperfect or the past perfect tense. Now, that means that something has happened in the past, but we're referring to it in the past. We're not referring to it in the present. Not so much about the present situation, but the past situation. The way we write that in English is we say something like, we had arrived, or we had written, or we had formed. And that's the point. When we look at the verses in Genesis chapter 2, and we go back to verse 19, what the Jewish scholars recognize is that this does not say, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. What it says is, out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. That changes everything. He's not saying that he just finished creating them. He's saying he had created them before. And that is why Jewish scholars don't get confused, because they recognize that when they see yatsar form in the past tense in verse 19, that it is the pluperfect or the past perfect form of the verb, and they don't make the same mistake we're making. Just as an FYI, some English Bibles actually do that. For instance, the NIV and the ESV both use properly the pluperfect tense. So they say had form. So if we were reading this in the ESV, it very specifically says, now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens. That changes everything. We're no longer thinking man was made first. But what we're recognizing is that God had formed these things first. And now he's talking about Adam coming to name the animals. So very different. In addition to that, once we recognize that chapter 2 is actually a detailed explanation of the creation of man during day 6, in other words, it's a historical account. It's an historical narrative regarding the creation of man. What we need to do is treat it the same way we would treat any other historical account. If I was reading about Benjamin Franklin, if I was reading about the person who created the computer, we would read these accounts historically, and that is the exact same way we should read chapter 2 in Genesis, the same way. How does that usually look? First, a summary is given for context. So we get a little context. to get an understanding of what's going on before I tell you what I want to tell you. So I'm going to tell you about the creation of man in day six, but before I do that, I'm going to tell you in verses 5 and 6 a little bit about what's going on. And so we read, there's no shrub in the field yet, there's no plant in the field, the Lord God had not sent any rain upon the earth, there was no man to cultivate the ground. There was a mist that used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. So that's the idea of what's going on when we get to this historic account of the creation of Adam. Now, as we get into the actual historical account, what we recognize is that account will be chronological. Again, chapter 2 is the chronological, historical account of the creation of man. And so what we see there is Adam is created. He realizes he needs a helpmate. Eve is created. And the first marriage occurs. So that happens chronologically, and that's basically the summary of chapter 2. However, throughout this historical, chronological account, facts regarding this situation are given to us. So as we're reading about Adam, we recognize that there was a garden in Eden, that there were trees in the garden, including the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that there were four rivers, that there were precious stones, that there were animals. Now, these are all facts that are given, but they're not in chronological order. They are given to us as they are needed to move the story of Adam forward. We make a mistake if we think that chapter 2 is a chronology of the creation. It's not. If instead we recognize that it's a chronology of the creation of man, then we can see how chapters 1 and 2 go together. How can we know that chapter 2 is a detailed account of the creation of man rather than just another account of the creation story? Simply because chapter 2 never mentions the creations of the heavens and the earth, of the atmosphere around the earth, of the oceans, of the land, of the sun or the moon, or the stars. It doesn't mention anything living in the waters. If chapter 2 is a second creation account, it's an extremely poor one because it doesn't provide us with information regarding the origins of anything outside of Adam, with some mention of plants and animals. That's it. If we were to remove chapter 1 from Genesis and start the book with chapter 2, chapter 2 would never be called the creation account. Maybe it would be called the creation of man, and that's the point. Chapter 2 is about the creation of man. Chapter 1 is a creation account. So that's it for today. Thanks for joining me. I pray that you've learned something about the creation account, and specifically about Genesis chapters 1 and 2. I pray this has been enlightening to you and enjoyable to you. And if you haven't already, I would love it if you would subscribe to my blog. If you enjoyed this, go out to david2.com. And you should find the sign-up form right at the bottom of the page. Just scroll down to the bottom, you should see it there. And also, I am trying to get as many people to subscribe to my blog as I can. So it would be a huge help if you would share this with your friends, anyone you think might benefit from it. If you could send them the link via text or send them an email, just let them know I'm out here. I would be indebted to you. Thank you very much. This is David 2, Like Tuesday, and my calling is to share biblical truth with you. Maranatha.